In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, St. Joseph, St. Leonard of Port Maurice, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Leonard of Port Maurice, who we celebrate in the Franciscan Order, lived in the 1700s. He entered the Franciscan Order and spent most of his time preaching and giving popular retreats and parish missions. And the theme of his retreats were normally on the Passion of Christ. He was one of the greatest promoters of the Stations of the Cross. Matter of fact, St. Leonard of Port Maurice in his writing says that if one of the cures for the ills of society and for whatever ails man is to make daily a reflection on the Passion of Christ, that is the thing that will put man back, you might say, into touch with reality and with the most important things. It helps him to rearrange his priorities and to put everything in its proper perspective and to cause man to grow in love for Christ. And he says that if we were to do that, to daily make a way of the cross, reflect on our Lord's passion, that only good results and good things would come from that a daily practice. And as we think about it, what was the message of St. Paul? He said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. And maybe that is the thing that, you know, we're reflecting on, especially this last week of the ordinary time on the kingship of Christ. You know, Christ is portrayed sometimes as a king on the cross because the cross is His throne. And He says, if I be raised up, I will draw all men unto myself. That the kingship of Christ is, as we heard yesterday in the gospel, of love and truth. And the love of Christ is most fully seen and made visible to us in His passion, in His death on the cross. As the church, maybe that is the problem, that the church has failed maybe in its preaching to always keep before the faithful the passion of our Lord. You know, sometimes maybe our preaching has been devoid of content. We got into this after the, you know, in the 70s and 80s, this caring and sharing kind of mentality, which took our eyes off of why we should be even caring and sharing, is because our Lord showed us on the cross His caring and His sharing, His shedding His blood for us. That is what will help bring things back into their proper perspective. And as we talked about, you know, that the church must be free to evangelize the society in which it finds itself in, that's why it's so important that the kingship of Christ is to be established not just in individual hearts, but in societies as a whole, because as the popes have reflected, you know, the state's purpose is, in one sense, the preservation of the common good. And the popes have reflected in the past, you know, what is one of the common good is that everybody has an opportunity to have the truth proclaimed to them. You know, the state is interested in the truth, or it ought to be. You know, the church, the state wants to make sure that in its commerce that there are true weights and measures. You know, they don't just let everybody arbitrarily say, well, that's a pound and this is a pound. They want to know objectively what is a pound. And if the state is interested in the truth in those things, then the state ought to be interested in promoting the truth in the highest things that are for the good of its citizens. And the church is saying that's why that a state that is indifferent to religion, to the religious truths, is not really a good thing. That the state ought to be interested in seeing that the truth be promoted that is important for man's salvation. That doesn't mean that that the state is in charge of it, but the state should allow the church to be free to proclaim the truth and not interfere and infringe upon the church's duty and its vocation and its work to evangelize its citizens. And the Pope's reflecting in the past, in one sense, by the state being indifferent to religion, is relegating the church to being just another opinion. You know, Planned Parenthood says this, and the church says that. Who knows what's right, you might say. Well, that's the problem we find in many cases in a pluralistic state, that the important truths that are not open to opinion are left as being, are treated as opinions. And this makes it very difficult. But the church is saying, well, at least that's better than being outright hostile to the church and forbidding the church to preach and to teach. But the perfect model, you might say, would be where the state allows and gives free rein to the church to do its work and does not treat the church's message as just being another opinion in that regard when it comes to those things which the church has every right to do, and that is to teach the moral truths, to see that the laws of a state reflect the commandments of God and true and right order, because that is the most important common good that has to be preserved. If we don't preserve the moral truths in our society, it's going to crumble and at its foundation. And that is very important, you might say, for the state's best interest, to see that the church forms its citizens to be good Catholics and to be moral and upright people, and gives them the grace to do that. It's not just that the church teaches it, but it gives the means for its citizens to be good and holy, because it gives the grace. Today, as we continue to reflect on the kingship of Christ, we know that Christ is coming again. He will come again to finally establish his kingdom for all eternity, his heavenly kingdom. And we might say those who of us who have been trying to live in his kingdom here on earth and to help promote it will finally reach the fruition of all of our efforts, and that we will be hopefully among those elect that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. The 144,000 is not to be taken as a literal number, but a figurative number. 12 squared is 144. 12 is a perfect number. To square it makes it even more perfect. And to put 3 zeros after it means that all those who are to be saved will be finally, you know, in its fullness, will be there in heaven at the end times. Let us pray and ask our Lord that, as the church always prays throughout the ages, it's not a death wish. The church is not, when it says, "Come, Lord Jesus," it's saying, let our Lord come to bring about his reign in its fullness. And the church and every Catholic and every God-fearing man and woman should be wanting that day to be made a reality, that the Lord Jesus will come again. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come and establish your reign for once and for all. Put the devil back in hell and slam the doors shut so that he can no longer tempt and do his mischief in and amongst your people. That has always been the desire of the church, is that the Lord Jesus come for us, and that we are being, and that we will be ready at any moment's notice to be ready for our Lord to come. And we pray and especially desire that, like Our Lady, we'll be ready for Him. That Our Lady always was living in union with God, and she was ready for that day whenever He would come. He came to her at the Annunciation, but she was always ready for whatever God wanted. And we ought to have that same disposition of heart and mind, that we are ready for our Lord to come, and that we are busy about doing His will and preparing the kingdom already here on earth, and being His light and life in the world. You know, yesterday we heard about the two figures in the book of Revelation, the two lampstands and the two olive trees. They're the two same figures, the two prophets. The two lampstands because they are being light to those around them. They are from which the light is placed on, the light of faith. And they are life because olive oil, if you know, olive oil is a symbol of life. If you couldn't live in the Mediterranean world without olive oil. And so they are. We are also to be that life in our society. That a society cannot truly be alive if Christians are not living their faith. If we are not living our Catholic faith, our society is dead. And that's probably why the culture of death is so prevalent, is because we as Catholics have not been truly living our faith as we ought. Let us pray and ask Our Lady to assist us to be life and light to our world today by living out our faith in our day-to-day activities. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.